This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The Manchurian Candidate opens tomorrow. It's a remake of a thriller set in the Cold War. The movie will be playing alongside The Bourne Supremacy, another thriller about spies and international intrigue. For decades, in films like this, secret agents have been saving the world while ordinary people have been caught in conspiracies. Pat Dowell reports on what these movies say about their times.
Now is the perfect time for political thrillers, says Robert Silberman, who teaches film history at the University of Minnesota.
In some way, 9/11 is good for the filmmakers because it cranks up the fear level and makes us more concerned about conspiracies and more concerned about surveillance and more concerned about who might do what. It's a ripe situation, but a very dangerous situation for filmmakers because with all political films, including political thrillers, being too topical could risk being instantly out of date if the situation changes, and too contentious, so you could lose your audience faster than Linda Ronstadt can say Michael Moore, I suppose.
Which is why Silberman says most makers of political thrillers have been more concerned with thrills than politics. Depending on your definition, the political thriller goes back to silent films. The genre grew between the two world wars as people became more aware of the growing civilian espionage services being set up by governments in Europe. The shadowy world of spies became a popular subject on screen. But political thrillers came into their own after the Second World War, with the permanent establishment of the CIA. The Cold War's threats of nuclear destruction and communist infiltration gave Hollywood a new field of play.
Where the bad guys are, as they say in Dr. Strangelove, the Ruskies. And the comic or semi-comic version of that would be the Bond films, where you may have the Russians as the bad guys, or you may have the sort of mad genius Dr. No or Goldfinger working a nefarious plot to take over Fort Knox or blackmail the world powers.
The characters Goldfinger and Dr. No were both rich and right of center, where political thrillers have often found their villains. But the Cold War, at least initially, offered conservatives a chance to put the left in the black hat. In 1952, John Wayne produced and starred in Big Jim McClain. As an investigator for the House Committee on Un-American Activities, he rooted out commies in Hawaii.
The real reason was I wanted to hit you one punch. Just one full-thrown right hand. But now I find I can't do it because you're too small. That's the difference between you people and us, I guess. We don't hit the little guy. We believe in fair play and all that sort of thing. So you get a pass. I have subpoenas for everyone in this room.
Big Jim McClain looked a lot more like a typical John Wayne vehicle than what most people today would call a political thriller. In 1962, a film came along that redefined the genre. The original Manchurian Candidate almost didn't get made, as its late director John Frankenheimer told WHYY's Terry Gross on Fresh Air in 1990.
The movie had been turned down by every studio in town. And when George Axelrod and I bought the book, we bought it by buying the book in a bookstore. It had been optioned and reoptioned and dropped and never been able to be made.
The Manchurian Candidate probably scared most studios because the title character was a buffoonish Joe McCarthy-like senator being pushed into the White House by his ambitious wife, a Russian agent who instructs her brainwashed son to kill her husband's running mate.
You are to shoot the presidential nominee through the head, and Johnny will rise gallantly to his feet and lift Ben Arthur's body in his arms, stand in front of the microphones and begin to speak. The speech is short, but it's the most rousing speech I've ever read. It's been worked on here and in Russia on and off for over 8 years.
The Manchurian Candidate is the prototype of the paranoid political thriller. The brainwashing plot twist looks back for inspiration to actual reports of captured American soldiers in the Korean War. But historian Robert Silberman says the film was prescient as well.
It looks forward to the post-Kennedy assassination, post-Watergate darkness of who do we trust? What are they doing to our minds? How are they doing not just thought control, but sort of media control, spin control? All kinds of control, and do we know it, do we recognize it, and can we fight it?
Or can we trust those who want to fight for us? In 7 Days in May, another John Frankenheimer film made in 1964, a liberal president secretly beats back an attempted coup by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He demands the general's resignation, but he doesn't think we citizens can handle the truth.
I'll tell you quite unequivocally, I'll not tell the reason for your resignation. If that were ever made public, this country would go down the drain.
The 60s also saw the blossoming of a different kind of political thriller, one that started in Europe and one historian Robert Silberman says that wanted to be political. It was often based on an actual instance of intrigue. The 1969 movie Z was director Costa Gavras's thinly veiled recreation of a political murder in Greece. And in the United States, the Watergate scandal inspired All the President's Men in 1976. These films, says Silberman, seem to suggest that the good fight could be won.
The Nixon White House and the heroic warriors, journalistic warriors of the Washington Post. And there you can see it gets creepy, all those meetings in the garage with a person who won't identify himself.
Where even a passerby whistling as he walks to his car creates an ominous pause in a conversation about the abuse of power.
We're beginning to hear a lot about a lawyer creep named Gordon Liddy. Gordon Liddy, who was fired by Mitchell because he wouldn't talk to the FBI. You'll hear more. Will he talk?
At the end, presumably justice triumphs, but it's not entirely a happy and a secure ending. The truth makes the American public free. On the other hand, how long will it last, and how could it happen, and what are the limits of that newborn freedom and security?
A persistent question that may explain why Hollywood is willing to take a chance on an update of The Manchurian Candidate. The new version uses the Gulf War as its setting for the brainwashing of American soldiers. Dean Georgaris, who co-wrote the screenplay, says now is the right time for the story.
One of the things that was really remarkable about the original Manchurian Candidate was how it captured the dangers and the mood of a particular time in this country. You know, how it dealt with fear of communism, how it dealt with McCarthyism, how those things could be used to oppress ourselves. And I thought, well, what world do we live in today? And I realized, you know, we live in a world where half of us don't even go to the polls, and where, because of our busy lives, we don't really understand our politicians, and we don't really necessarily know where they come from or who they are.
Which can lead to dire consequences, according to Denzel Washington's character in The New Manchurian Candidate.
This is a coup. This is rich people funding bad science to put a sleeper in the White House.
So 42 years later, the original's paranoia is still with us. Perhaps more than before, says historian Robert Silberman.
Certainly the political thriller plays into the current situation and what's going on in the political campaigns, because safety has become the buzzword for the campaigns, or one of them. And so instead of people asking, are you better off, they're asking, do you feel safer now than 4 years ago? Which is a very powerful question, and these political thrillers can play on that and in a way prey on that question.
Which they will continue to do. Coming soon to a theater near you is Nicole Kidman as a UN interpreter who overhears a plot to kill an African head of state. George Clooney will star in a thriller about corrupt oil companies. And in the planning stages, a thriller about Americans interrogating prisoners in Iraq. For NPR News, this is Pat Dowell in Washington.